Hello, I'm Brandon.
And I'm Justine.
And this is the Cozy Co-op.
Finally.
Yes. Podcast where a game journalist and a creative writer talk about video games. We're here for the second time.
Yeah. Take two.
First time.
Cozy Co-op.
Halfway through the episode, our power goes out. Just.
Yeah. All the lights went out. We thought the bulb went out in the closet. And then we looked at everyone.
Stepped out and everything else was also
everyone
dark.
On the block lost power.
And it's winter. So, you know, it gets dark at like 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
So here we are again, late with podcast with a good reason. I had to find more news, by the way.
Our old news was old. Yeah.
So today we're talking about Knights of the Old Republic, the Star Wars games.
Yes.
But before that, we got some news. So how about that news? That news is, how many times can I say news? 7. News. First bit, we have Alien Blackout. Now, this is a game that has not been announced, but everyone's pretty sure is happening at this point.
Okay.
What happened was 20th Century Fox recently filed a trademark for something called Alien Blackout, which was a trademark or a copyright. Can't remember which, but it was a digital digital and physical game copy of a video game with online functionality. It was worded, you know, in like legalese.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like it's an online game, like there's online servers kind of thing. Then, not long after that, two Twitter accounts showed up, both under the name Alien Blackout. Both of which are set to private and have the Fox Next logo as their profile picture. Then another thing happened. I forget his name. Something Kiteley. The guy who runs the Game Awards.
Okay.
He tweeted a picture that had the words, like, the world will change, repeating over and over on a line.
Okay.
In a font that is very similar to that of the Alien franchise. And he said that the world will change on December 6th, which is the same day that the Game Awards are broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
So now people are speculating they're going to announce a new Alien game at the Game Awards.
How many Alien games have there been?
One.
Oh.
Well, no, I shouldn't say that. Sorry. There's been a number of them. There was like Alien for the DS. And the most popular one was a few years back. It was Alien Isolation.
Oh, I've heard
of that. Yeah, the you don't fight as much as you go hide kind of game.
Yeah.
And that one did really well. So, sounds like we got another Alien game coming.
Okay.
Next bit of news. I've told you about this. Shirley Curie. Her name's hard to say. Shirley Curie. Curie, maybe? She is an 82-year-old Let's player.
Oh, yes.
Most well known for her Skyrim playthrough. She's got over 300 episodes into Skyrim so far.
Wow.
Well, fans are petitioning for Bethesda to immortalize? Yeah, to immortalize her in the next Elder Scrolls game. It started when someone had posted a video that I didn't watch the video itself, to be honest, but it was basically saying that the earliest we're going to see Elder Scrolls 6 is going to be a good 6 years from now.
6 years away, yeah.
And Curie had posted a comment on this video saying, wow, I'll be 88 by then. I might not get to play.
Mm.
And this bummed a lot of people out.
Yeah, that is a bummer.
It is a bummer. So her fans started up one of those change.org petitions.
Yeah.
You know, saying, hey, Bethesda, why not make her, you know, a person in your game? This is nothing new to Bethesda. You know?
Right.
They had Eric West, which was, he died of cancer back in 2011, but he visited the studios beforehand, and he was made into Eric the Slayer in Skyrim.
Nice.
There's Evan, who was, another instance, but with Fallout 4, he was added to the Nuka-Cola DLC.
Right. I remember encountering him before I knew the story about it. It was just like, this was like the most singularly pleasant encounter
I had
in the entire Fallout
experience.
Game.
Because you meet him and he's like, oh, hi, I don't get a lot of visitors. Take what you want.
Because he's
mind.
Not crazy.
He's just a nice
he's
dude.
He's just like, yeah, I don't need a lot. You can just take whatever you need. And he had some nice stuff. I didn't take all of it. I just like...
I couldn't take anything.
He gave me...
He
gave me something because I asked to trade and he gave me something. Oh, it was the recipe for one of the Nuka Colas.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
So, it was the Nuka Love or whatever.
So this is not a new idea for Bethesda. They've not responded to this petition yet. Time will tell. Final bit of news. Also Bethesda related. So it's been no secret that Fallout 76 has not been very well received.
Not particularly.
It's been very buggy, and that's been the primary complaint.
See, that surprises me, because
I've not had much issue. I have had issue. I'll get into that. Well, Bethesda recently made a post on Reddit before their official website saying, hey, we've not been good at communicating. We're sorry. Mm-hmm. Here's our plan for the next two updates, both of which are going to come out in the next 2 weeks.
All right.
And they detailed it and they said, we're going to try to talk with you guys weekly so that you always know what we're doing. They're trying to cut out that awkward lack of communication, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So on December 4th, there's going to be an update, and that's going to increase the stash limit size, which is a very common complaint. The cryolator, a nice gun, if you got hit with it, you'd slow down for 2 hours.
Oh, no.
Right? Well, they fix that at 30 seconds.
Okay, good.
Then a few other small things here and there. And then December 11th, 2 weeks from now. This is one of the bigger ones, one of the more anticipated ones. There's push to talk for PC.
Cool.
Which is a good thing to have.
Yeah.
Widescreen resolution, field of view settings. You'll be able to respec your special stats.
Oh.
Once you hit level 50, you can choose either to get more perk cards or to move one of your special stats.
Okay.
So you'll be able to respec yourself, air quotes, late game.
I see.
That's nice. My personal favorite, camp overlap has been fixed.
Oh, good.
So before, you can build your own camp and you can put it wherever.
Right.
However, if you logged into a server where somebody had already built a camp overlapping where yours would be, yours would just be stashed away and you'd have to rebuild it.
Yeah.
Now, it saved the layout as a blueprint, so, you know, you weren't totally just boned out.
Mm-hmm.
But it was still very inconvenient.
Right, you'd have to go find a new place.
Yeah. Well, then when the update happens, it'll be like, hey, somebody's in your spot. Do you want to go into the server anyway, or do you want to find a different one?
That's a really good, yeah.
I like that as well. They also are going to add a thing called Bulldozer, which lets you destroy small rocks and small trees and shrubs and branches and debris. You can
make your own camp spot.
You can clean up your camp so for easier building, you know?
Sure, that's pretty good.
Which I appreciate that as well. I'd like to get rid of some of the bushes that are clipping into my house.
Do you also get the materials from it?
I don't know.
That would be cool.
They did not say. They fixed another one where if you die when you're over encumbered, you can't respawn anywhere but starting base. I've had that happen to me a few times. It's very inconvenient.
Yeah.
So it's good to know they're fixing that. But, as someone who's, I enjoy Fallout 76 and I want everyone else to as well. I grew tired of seeing all the negative coverage. So it's nice to see some improvements, some good things about it, you know?
Right.
But that's all for news. How about that KOTOR?
I'm going to yawn a lot. I'm sorry.
Ladies know how to KOTOR.
Oh.
That's a contour joke.
Oh, ha 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 ha.
So, Star Wars. I've not played these games.
Yes, I've played the snot out of these games. So, oh man, we're going to have to do all this again, aren't we?
you did a whole bunch of lore explanation in the last recording.
Okay.
Round two. So, first game.
Okay. Game one, Knights of the Old Republic.
Hold on. It's like a third-person adventure game? Adventure RPG? How does it work?
It's a turn-based RPG published by BioWare in 2003, and then it... Developed by BioWare in 2003. And then published, right, by Obsidian Entertainment? Is that the publisher?
God, okay, it might be... I don't know.
Anyway, Obsidian Entertainment was involved. Back in like 2010 or 2012, it changed hands to LucasArts and Disney when Disney bought all the Star Wars IP.
Mm-hmm.
Which I imagine is when it got ported to the to iPad.
I could absolutely believe that. Yeah.
So I've had it on iPad for several years now, but
It was originally on what?
It was originally for Xbox.
The first one?
Yes.
I guess that is 2003.
Oof. It was the, well, I know this because it was Game of the Year in 2003, and it is what prompted my dad to get our first Xbox with this game.
Oh.
So that was our, the first Xbox game that we had was Knights of the Old Republic, along with, you know, probably like Halo and I think Phantasy Star Online was the other one. This is actually, I was playing these games before I really watched the Star Wars movies. Like, I'd seen them, but I hadn't really watched them.
You wouldn't really consider yourself a Star Wars fan?
Right, but I played a lot of these games. So much of what I gathered from the Force lore and stuff like that is from these games. Okay, so The Old Republic.
Yes.
Is, okay, when you watch Star Wars from the first, from technically episode 4, A New Hope, you're dealing with the Galactic Empire, which is, you know, the, what the empire they're referring to in Empire Strikes Back.
Okay.
Before that, what you see in the prequels is the demise of the Galactic Republic.
Were they the one with all the robots?
You mean the clones?
No, robots.
What?
Did none of them have, like, a robot army?
That's the clones. Or, no, sorry, there's the clone army, and then there's the battle droids.
Battle droids, that's
that was the Sith.
Okay, so that's not, like, a Galactic Empire or Republic thing? That's just...
I think that's just the Sith.
Okay.
It's been... I don't... I have not religiously watched the prequels, so...
Fair enough.
Yeah, so... The clones were of the Galactic Republic, I believe. I can't remember. Anyway, before the Galactic Republic was the Old Republic.
Yeah, that makes sense.
The predecessor, which I believe also fell to the Sith. And then during those the wars and that struggle, it became it went to the democratic governing of the Galactic Republic.
Oof, these are words.
Yeah. So, in Knights of the Old Republic, we're in the midst of the Old Republic, which is 1,000 years before the Clone Wars of the prequel movies.
Jeez.
Yes. This is the Old Republic.
Oh, yeah. Like, were those originals?
Yeah. In a a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
They need add an extra long.
An extra long needs to be in there. You wake up, you start this game, waking up, male or female, you get to choose your character, but you don't necessarily get to customize it. There are just different models that you can choose of the two, of male or female.
Which is expected of that generation of gaming.
This was early BioWare, and, you can see a lot of this stuff, a lot of themes in this game continue. With the things that make BioWare BioWare, aka fantasy dating sims.
Yeah.
Because you can romance people in these games. You can also choose your what Jedi path you're on. So,
oh,
like,
of course.
Guardian, Sentinel. There's a third one, and I can't remember what it was. My sister and I usually go for Sentinel because it's like the most well rounded.
Mm-hmm.
Guardian is more for like. Strength.
I kind of figured I had kind of like a physical, big, bulky.
Yeah. So you wake up on a ship that's being attacked. And you don't remember who you are or what you're doing. The ship is being attacked by the galaxy's main antagonist, Darth Malak.
Malak.
Malak has been the scourge of the galaxy for quite some time, and he is. The apprentice to an even worse villain, Darth Revan, who is rarely seen.
Because that's the Sith way of doing things, is leader, apprentice, that's it.
Right. And yes, they are Sith. So
What? This is not necessarily game related. What's Darth mean? Because I just kind of assumed that was synonymous with I am Sith.
So, as far as I can tell, a lot of things that become canonical and lore-based and stuff in the Star Wars universe is just because George Lucas put a random name down and then it became something else.
Ah.
So, I'm not sure what Darth means now, but I think initially it was just like, that sounds evil and awesome. But now Darth is sort of, I think it's kind of a denotation of like a Sith Lord.
See, I've kind of like attributed it to mean like the Sith equivalent to, well, knight. You know,
yeah.
If you're knighted, you're called Sir whatever, but if you're evil knighted, you're Darth whatever.
There's also, among the Sith, there's the rule of two. There can only ever be two Sith Lords,
mm-hmm.
I believe is what it is. So generally that's why the apprentice ends up killing the master.
Yeah.
So in this case, it's Revan and Malak.
Gotcha.
So, Malak is attacking this ship that you're on for who knows why. You team up with a pilot who's on this ship and also trying to escape named Karth Onassi.
Okay.
He is your standard attractive team member, with the dead wife and child backstory.
Oh.
But he's pretty cool. He's good with a gun and whatnot. Your standard blaster boy.
Yeah.
Then,
they really do like using that role a lot in Star Wars.
Well, I think that's another thing is that they created such a solid set with Han, Leia, and Luke.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the staple of Star Wars. You have a flyboy, a cocky flyboy. You have someone who is, you know, multi-talented, and then you have the Jedi.
Yeah, like there's a robot sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because
the plucky robot.
I'm thinking then, like there's Poe, and then there's Cassian.
Cassian, yep.
And like they're all just yeah.
And there's Han.
Good with a gun, like
right.
Bit of a mysterious backstory, attractive pilot.
Yep. Karth is less plucky than most.
Okay.
Your plucky pilot will come in the second game.
Good.
Which is my favorite one, but we'll get to that. So we're going to get into some heavy spoilers, but it's been out for like 20 years. So.
Oh, God. Yeah. That's 15 years ago.
It was 15 years ago. Yep.
It could beat me at Fortnite.
You land on the planet below, and I believe that last time I said it's Telos, but I was mistaken. Telos is the mining facility in the second game that you initially wake up on. I can't remember the name of the planet that you go down to when escaping from the main ship. But you have to stick around because there was a person on the ship who is very important, and you need to figure out, now you have no idea where she is. Her name is Bastila, and she is a full-on, like, Jedi. I think she's a knight.
Okay.
I believe she was the reason that Malak was attacking the ship.
Okay. That makes sense.
Because she was doing some important stuff against him. So you have to go find Bastila. Bastila is Jennifer Hale, who, for those who know, is Commander Shepard. And quite a number of other, like, cartoon voices and things. She does a lot of voice work because she has a cool voice. But
okay.
She's not as cool in this game because Bastila is kind of a stick in the mud.
Aw.
She is constantly going on and on and on about not being corrupted by the dark side. Don't go near the dark side. You have to stay on the path of the light and be honorable and noble and all that stuff. Ironically, I think she does end up going to the dark side by the end of the game.
Foreshadowing.
It might depend. The way that you interact with your companions and the way that you play the game affects the ending and who goes light side, who goes dark side. But I do believe Bastila actually ends up going to the dark side by the end of it.
Okay.
So, yes, you do have light side, dark side path, as BioWare is kind of known for. And most of that for this game is because they based the video game off of Wizards of the Coast turn-based tabletop Star Wars RPG.
Yeah.
Which is based off of the second or third edition Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah. Wizards basically likes to copy-paste their skeletal system.
Yeah.
Here's our Call of Cthulhu pen and paper. Here's our Star Wars pen and paper.
Right. So you don't have to homebrew everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So that we discussed last time, that does make, I keep saying last time, you guys never heard this, but it does make combat a little bit clunky. Which
you said turn-based, which I've not known BioWare to do.
Yeah, I think they largely stopped after the Knights of the Old Republic games because it slows things way down. So I'll compare this to Jade Empire because this was a couple years later. I think their next game was Jade Empire, if I remember correctly, because they seem very close in my mind.
The timeline sounds right.
So by Jade Empire, combat was very fluid. You literally jumped into a fight. And so some cool things about combat there were you jumped in and every time you pressed a button, your character would do an action. Like whatever that action was, whether it was a passive ability or your attack or whatever.
Yeah, it's real-time combat.
Real-time combat. And then as soon as you entered combat, fight music would start. And there were several different tracks that they would use. And it was all very fluid, and it looked really cool, and it felt pretty good to do it. On the other side of things was the Knights of the Old Republic combat, which you would find an enemy, go up to them, and then it would be it was entirely turn-based. So you could button mash all you wanted, but up in the corner of the screen was some icons that would stack up every time you told it to do a certain thing. So if you wanted to use a force attack, if you wanted to use a melee attack, if you wanted to get out your blaster or whatever, that would stack.
Oh, okay.
But you would have to wait your turn.
God, it would ready actions.
It would ready actions.
I could see where that would be helpful, but like
the other thing is it's definitely doing like a D20 based statistic on whether you hit or not.
Mm.
Because this is why it would slow it down so much, is because sometimes there were multiple rounds in which neither of you would get a hit in.
Oh, yeah.
So you just keep swinging and missing.
That nice awkwardness.
It's not satisfying because you'll take a swing and not make contact with anything, no matter how close to the combatant you are.
Mm-hmm.
So in that regard, I really kind of hated combat in this game. It's extremely reminiscent of what it's like when playing Neverwinter Nights.
Okay.
Which makes sense because that is also based off of Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah.
So in that regard, I was not a fan of fighting in the game, and there were a lot of ways in which you could get just irreparably stuck by being in an area where, like, you don't have any more med packs, and there's a lot of things that are just, it's too difficult to fight them, and you can't just plow your way through it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's blasters and all this stuff. So there were a number of times when I played both games that I would just get entirely stuck. And that I would stop playing forever.
Oof. I've had that happen to me.
Yeah. So it's not fun. Although one time I did realize that I could actually just leave the facility and come back in and it would be fine. And like, it would all be the way I left it. So I left, went and bought a bunch of med packs and went back in.
All right.
Anyway. Once you obtain Bastila, the story progresses and I think she's the one that tells you have to find star charts that will lead you to a space station called the Starforge, which is what Malik needs to create the materials he needs to wage his war against the galaxy.
Okay.
If you can stop him from using that, you can shut down his army. Now, all this time, your Jedi character still doesn't remember who they are, and as you stop by Jedi temples and stuff, you try to gather your memories and things. And so here's your big spoiler of the game, which is one that like really blew my mind when I was little. You're Darth Revan.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
Are you old?
No.
No.
You're generally a young looking person, like probably 30s, late 20s.
Is Malik old?
I don't It's hard to tell.
I don't actually know. What does Malik look like?
An alien.
Fair enough.
I don't know. He looks funky.
He looks funky.
I mean, he's a Sith Lord. They all look horrible. Oh my god, there's one in the second game that is constantly coming after you. All of his skin is, like, cracked.
Ew.
It's really nasty.
Now, that actually sounds familiar. I'm going to look that up while you talk.
I cannot look up, Knights of the Republic. Well, if you look up Knights of the Republic 2 Sith Lord, it'll just give you the game, but, I can't remember what his name was.
You know, Malik is not a good-looking fella.
Mm.
He has no chin.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, since Vader with his whole respirator thing.
Yeah, yeah, this is like that, but if you took the bottom half of the Iron Giant.
Yeah. I think that's what it is, though, is since Vader, all the Sith Lords had to be somehow deformed or handicapped or something.
Well, but he's got impressive pecs.
Indeed.
He's built.
So
interesting.
The ways that you play the game and make light-sided or dark-sided decisions influences the way you end the game. Either you defeat Malik and stop this, you know, ever-encroaching war that's going on, or you take over the Sith army yourself. And I assume just get rid of Malik, because he's a terrible apprentice.
Okay, I'm going to say some names. I want you to tell me which ones are which.
Okay.
Sion.
Darth Sion is the cracked one.
He is the cracked one. There's also Nihilus.
Nihilus?
Darth Nihilus, it looked like. Nihilus. Oh, God, Sion looks horrible.
Yeah, let me see.
He's so dry.
Yeah, he's like twice baked.
Oh, God, he's like the bottom of a lake after it's dried up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Goodness.
He's really gross, and he's missing an eye, I think.
He is missing, I mean... No, I think
no,
it's
just
blind.
One
of
them scarred over. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
God, he's that very cannot gross. Be comfortable.
You should see. We'll watch some videos later. You should see him talking.
Oh,
it's really because it's not great graphics either. So like his talking emotions are a little bit weird.
I would turn to evil too. That has to just life has to be uncomfortable.
So I'm trying to think if there's anything else to talk about in the first game. It got Game of the Year, so clearly they did a lot of stuff right with it. The storyline was very compelling. You had people driving you forward the entire time, as well as, you know, looking for who you are as a Jedi, right down to the plot twist that you were the bad guy the whole time. That's the first game.
Yes.
Do you still have the timer up?
Yeah, it's going. It's going.
Okay, should we stop and do our ad break before getting into the second game?
I think that's a good idea.
Okay. Come to Gida's store near the docks of Nar Shaddaa. Gida has the best blasters, vibro blades, and med packs on the whole planet. If you land on Nar Shaddaa, you're going to need something to help you out. Come to Gida. And don't go to Undar.
Is this what it's like when I hit you with a surprise ad break?
Yes.
My God.
So
I was not prepared.
Gida and Undar are, I don't even think there's anything quest related with them. I can't quite remember. They're two merchants on Nar Shaddaa.
I figured.
Nar Shaddaa is one of my favorite planets. We'll talk about that later.
I was trying to think of some kind of dirty way I could reference a vibroblade.
Vibroblade? Yeah. I guess they vibrate?
I had figured that much.
I don't know. Vibroblades were the first time I'd heard of such a thing. It was playing these games, but apparently they're just like embedded in Star Wars lore. Like that's just like the swords that you use.
So they're just swords that, what, like the vibration?
They literally look like katanas.
And okay. The vibration makes them extra good at cutting through things,
yeah,
or something like that?
It's the melee weapon.
I get it. It's like one of those turkey carvers.
Yeah.
But faster.
So, yeah, like that. I actually don't know if they actually vibrate or not. They're just called
vibroblades. If they don't, I will be mad.
I would too.
I will write a strongly worded letter.
To George Lucas?
To BioWare.
Okay.
Even more inappropriate of a recipient.
So Knights of the Old Republic 2. Less well-received than the first game. In a lot of opinions. Now, this is, honestly, it's kind of funny. The same complaints I've heard about Knights of the Republic 2, the Sith Lords, are complaints that I've heard about Dragon Age 2.
Interesting.
So, stuff like the game's not quite finished. There's a lot of dialogue flaws. If you, you know, one area looks the same, you know, in Dragon Age 2, one warehouse looks like every other warehouse in the city. Mm. It's kind of the same on in Knights of the Republic.
I gotcha.
However, I prefer the second game because it is not a wide scale the galaxy is going to go down and you have to save it. It's a much more personal journey of developing your character kind of thing and choosing whether to aid the galaxy in its reconstruction or push it more towards its own destruction. This takes place maybe a couple years after the end of the first game, after the whole thing with Malak. So one way or another, Malak is out of the picture. I think you can actually import saves from the first game and you know, tell it.
I believe that.
Because that's another thing BioWare has always done. So you can tell it, you know, what you had for Revan. Okay. So you, again, wake up, this time post-attack, in a mining facility on Telos. This is like an asteroid mining operation where they get fuel. And the fuel gets shipped off to a fuel depot that's not that far away. I think. I have to play the game again. But when you wake up in a Colto tank, because apparently you were injured or something and they stuck you in a Colto tank to recover.
Is that like a soak in this until you're okay?
Yeah, it's the same tank you see Luke go into in the beginning of Empire Strikes Back after Han drags him back out of the blizzard.
Fred, I don't remember that.
There is actually, I think, there's a planet, it might be called Colto, where this fluid comes from.
Oh.
And it's the fluid that heals you gradually if you're stuck in a tank full of it. You are somehow released from this tank, despite no one being around, and all of the other tank's occupants are dead. They got overdosed with the, you know, medicine stuff.
With Colto.
Right. Colto whatever juice. It was. They got overdosed with it, and they died, except that you survived the overdose.
Oh.
Like, you got hit with it too, but you're not dead.
A very video game trope.
Yeah. And there is a voice in your head directing you where to go. This voice is coming from a woman who is in the medical bay. She's an old woman. Her name is Kreia. She looks very, not quite good. She's a very mysterious kind of figure, and she talks like this all the time and likes to get into your brain and tell you cryptic things. And yeah. her problem is she's constantly talking about whispers in the Force.
Whisper. That's like, just her favorite band.
Literally take a shot every time she says that exact phrase. It's all the time. So you're basically checking logs and data pads and stuff like that to figure out what the heck happened in this facility. Why is everybody dead?
Okay.
It turns out they knew they were keeping a Jedi.
Oh.
That which is you.
Oh.
You're the Jedi. You keep telling Kreia you're not, that you're cut off from the Force and you're the Jedi exile.
Been 2 years sober.
Sure.
Got like a little ring that says,
probably, yeah, yeah. But
Forceaholics Anonymous.
You keep disagreeing with Kreia every time she tries to tell you stuff about the Jedi, you're like, nope, not a Jedi anymore. But yeah, they knew they were keeping a Jedi, and there's a bounty on you.
Oh.
And so somebody at the facility decided to cash in on that bounty, but what it ended up doing was somehow all the robots turned on everybody. They use a whole lot of robots in this mining facility to get everything done. All of them turned on people with their mining lasers. And they killed everybody.
Nice.
And now there's a vessel showing up to collect on this bounty.
Okay.
This is the vessel that contains Darth Sion.
Sion.
Yep.
Crackly boy.
Crackly boy.
Really needs some lotion.
Yes.
A mud bath. Oh, God. I just imagine mud getting in the cracks.
Whoops. I am so sorry for just kicking that microphone. So, you meet two other people on this mining facility.
Okay.
One of them is Atten Rand, who is my favorite Star Wars character.
Is this the, what'd you call it, Plucky?
The Plucky Flyboy, yeah.
Okay.
So, you find him in a holding cell on the mining facility. He got put in the detention area for quote-unquote trumped up charges for breaking some rule or another.
Ah.
He doesn't really say why.
I see.
I do like him, though, because I do remember the first meeting very well. He's like, yeah, I got thrown in here. They stopped talking to me shortly before they stopped feeding me. And then you showed up in your underwear and things got a whole lot better. You have no clothes at this point. You've right. not found any clothes.
Because you've been in the Kanto juice.
In the Kolto.
Yeah.
Kanto is a Pokemon.
Yep.
Yeah. So you let him out of the holding cell and he helps you out, but he's a very like, I don't want to stick my neck out if I don't have to kind of person.
Okay.
Kind of a roguish, I think about myself kind of flyboy.
Yeah.
I do enjoy him a lot. Atten's one of my favorite people. He generally stays up in the communication center trying to keep in touch with you while he tries to get things back online and call for help. Then the Sith Lord ship shows up. You gotta sort of fight this guy, and then Kreia's like, no, you just have to go. I will hold him off while you guys go. And he cuts her hand off, because it's not a Star Wars story if someone is not getting their hand cut off.
Yeah.
Then you, oh, that's the other thing. In the first game, I forgot to mention, and last time I didn't, you get your own ship.
In the first game?
Yes.
Okay.
It looks a lot like the Millennium Falcon, but it's not the Millennium Falcon. It is called the Ebon Hawk.
Really?
Yes.
The Ebon Hawk.
The Ebon Hawk.
They're... Okay.
Yes. Now, when you're about to...
All right.
When you're trying to flee this mining facility on Telos, guess what you find?
The Ebon Hawk?
The Ebon Hawk.
Of course you do.
So you take that ship and head out and out of there with Kreia and oh, sorry, the other person you find is a little mining droid that wasn't affected by this weird thing that made them kill everyone. His name is T3.
Cute.
He's adorable. And you can give him little robot armor and like upgrade his chassis and
chassis. Stuff.
He's really cute. And there are occasions where T3 is like in another location in the mining facility, but you contact him through like the screens and stuff. And you're like, hey, T3, can you go handle this thing for me? And T3's like, sure thing. And then you get to play as T3.
Oh, yeah.
It's really, really cute.
If I had a robot, you know what I'd call him?
What?
Chassis Chase.
Okay. So, yeah, you fly away from there. And from that point on, it's a really fun game. I really want to go into a lot more detail, but I shouldn't. From that point on, you go from planet to planet, mostly avoiding this bounty that's on your head.
Makes sense.
The bounty is because, you've been exiled from the Jedi Order.
Okay, that's rude.
Not particularly. You sided with Revan in the Mandalorian Wars. Now, if you're unfamiliar with what a Mandalorian is, they're basically humans. If you remember Boba Fett, He's a Mandalorian. They're famous for being bounty hunters and fighters and warmongers.
You know, I never really thought about what race he would be. Being in a suit all the time and whatnot.
On Malachor 5, is that right?
That doesn't matter.
I believe Malachor 5 was the site of the turning point of that war, which is where Revan and their army activated the like the shadow something, like the shadow grid or something like that. Some device that completely massacred the battlefield. Like, it just completely wiped out whatever Mandalorians were there.
Okay.
And because it was a slaughter on such a large scale, you ended up closing yourself off from the Force in order to save yourself from the trauma.
Oh.
That's why you don't, you have to reconnect with the Force throughout this game.
Interesting.
The Jedi Council had moved to not move when deciding whether or not to go to war with the Mandalorians, who I believe were already pitching a fight.
Mm-hmm.
They decided they were not going to make a decision. Or at least they weren't going to come to one in enough time. And your character, not wanting to wait around for them to deliberate or to tell you no, you just ran off to go join Revan.
That's it. Okay. I see where that might get you exiled.
Yeah, so they kicked you out after that. So the game is about reconnecting with the Force, whether that's light side or dark side. And turns out the... it seems like there's a couple different people with a bounty on your head. Or that people have misinterpreted the bounty on your head to mean dead or alive.
Mm.
When it was strictly stated alive. We need the Jedi alive. And in fact, the person who's hunting you down is Admiral Karth Onassi, who's looking for you because they want you to help him find Revan again.
Oh,
because Revan took off.
Right.
So by the end of the game, you go to the Sith temple, like the Sith school on Malachor 5. You either destroy it and the...
It's not full of children, was it?
I don't or think... younglings. So this is another lighter dark side thing where you can either take control of the Sith or take out the Sith.
Yeah.
I think it's like if you do the light sided option, you end up going out to find Revan on the Outer Rim in the unknown areas.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, Revan's doing some other stuff, I guess. But yeah, you get a number of characters in both games since you have a whole ship to store them in. You can only run around with, I think, one or two at a time. I'm most familiar with the second game because I played through most of it. So there's Atten, who you absolutely can romance.
Nice.
And I just have to make this known. He has one of my favorite, most romantic lines of any video game ever. And the voice actor completely murdered the delivery.
Oh no.
Yep. Atten is fun. His backstory is once upon a time, he was a Jedi hunter.
He would go after
and kill Jedi for money and other things, I assume. And then he stopped doing that. He doesn't do that anymore. And I can't remember what his name was before, but he changed his name to Atten, short for Atonement.
Oh, how dramatic.
Right. However, you notice very early on that it's very difficult to read his mind or his surface thoughts as you can with other people.
Okay.
And he reveals that his trick to that is Pazak, which is the card game of the Star Wars universe.
Okay.
Pazak is very difficult to figure out. I don't know how to play it. I'm so bad at it. They keep trying to tell you the rules, but I'm so bad at this game. We'll see if you can play Pazak. We'll look up some rules for it. But yeah, this is his favorite game. He's constantly playing Pazak, even in his head, which is how he keeps Jedi out. He's constantly got a buffer of, like, Pazak strategy going on up there. And I think someone else said once that his other strategy for keeping Jedi out is just constantly thinking about sex. But once, you know, you get kind of further on in the relationship with him, you sit down with him in the cockpit and you're like, can you teach me how to guard my mind against Jedi? And he's like, no, but I can teach you how to play Pazak.
Of course.
You're like, no, I want to know how to guard my mind. He's like, no, let me teach you how to play Pazak. And then once, you know, you get it, he's like, see, now no matter where you are or who's coming after you, they will never get to you because you're going to be right here with me playing Pazak. But if you go look up a video of him saying that, he's like, because you're going to be right here with me playing Pazok. It's like, it's the most unromantic way to deliver that line. Otherwise, he's a very good voice actor. But then there's Mira, who's a bounty hunter.
Everyone's just hunting.
Yeah, you get in with a lot of, like, rogues and stuff.
Ah.
You pick her up on Nar Shaddaa, which is the crime planet.
The crime planet?
There's a lot of crime.
That's such
there.
A Star Wars thing, the crime planet.
I believe the Hutts have control of Nar Shaddaa, which is why they're, like, mob bosses. You actually have to, like, take one out, I think. And, yeah, you get the Princess Leia metal bikini.
Nice.
Yeah, you have to go in and dance for him. I'm like, cool. I bet you... No, I think if you're not a female character, I think you actually have to go in as a female companion to do it.
I was going to say, I'd love to see my male companion with the metal
I've not played it
bra.
As a male companion, but yeah, I believe that's how you're supposed to do it. But yeah! I do like Nar Shaddaa, though, because... well, I like it more than Onderon, because literally everyone on Onderon is like, I'm being oppressed! And you have to help everybody. On Nar Shaddaa, everyone's like, don't look at me. Keep doing what you're doing. That is the thing, though. It's a very planet-by-planet basis of whether or not you're going to help them recover from the war with Malak, or if you're going to let them fall further into, you know, the undoing of their society.
Yeah.
Onderon is a big example of that. There is Beodur, who is not a criminal anything. He is a mechanic.
Okay.
Who you are actually war buddies with. He was there on Malachor 5 with you. And you meet back up with him on one of the moons of Onderon. So I think that was actually another battle site. So it's really, I really love Beodur. He's got like a little remote droid.
That helps him,
and he, like, kind of talks to him and stuff. It's really cute. He also helps you build your first lightsaber.
Nice.
Because you don't have one.
Yeah. What have you been using up to this point? Just punching them?
Vibroblades and blasters.
Ah, vibroblades.
So, yeah, I really like these games because it really formed a lot of my interest in how the Force works and your connection to it. The way that this can be influenced by your actions and where you go and who you learn from. I actually believe that a lot of the council members of the Jedi Council in the second game are in hiding and you have to go seek them out and they're all mad at you, but you are the one that's fixing things. So, I think they're really good games. I think if you can get through the somewhat unfinished nature of the second game, it's a very good one to play. Even though the dialogue does screw up on occasion. The first game, of course, is very good. It was Game of the Year. They did a very good job with it. And again, if you can get past the very clunky combat mechanics, you'll be okay. But yeah, combat is just... it's not great.
And I mean... I think I've only ever heard once ever somebody praising a BioWare game for a combat mechanic. Like, combat has never been their strong suit in any games.
True. I will say I think Jade Empire is my favorite because they gave you... I mean, I know this is not a Jade Empire episode, but they gave you such a varied amount of fighting styles that you can fairly easily obtain and train in and decide, you know, which route you want to go. The transitions in and out of combat are very smooth, and it feels really good every time you hit something. I just think the combat in Jade Empire was extremely good in what it allowed you to do and to set that up and train in. Knights of the Republic is not very good. Now, I haven't played the current Old Republic game, which is the MMORPG.
Which doesn't count.
I know, you say that, but I'm just saying I don't know anything about it. I know there are some people who play it. I've not tried to play it or anything. But yeah, you can get... I know people don't really have original Xboxes anymore.
Yeah.
You can play the first Knights of the Republic game on mobile devices.
It might only be tablets.
Might only be tablets.
I'll have to look, but whatever way you can play it, I'll be sure to link them in the show notes.
It's a little clunkier on there. You have to really get used to the controls on it. You may be able to get it on PC. I have Knights of the Republic 2 on PC.
Okay.
You can get it from Steam.
I'll link to all of this.
Right. I think we went a little long because I was going into story time.
We are two games in one.
Right, two games. I think I've covered most of the basics in the storyline. Can I tell you about one more thing that I think you'll enjoy?
Sure.
There is another robot companion that is in both games. The first game, you just kind of come across it. The second game, he's broken and stored in a closet on the Ebon Hawk, and you have to repair him.
Aw.
He is an HK-47 assassin droid. And he doesn't really like humans. Or organic creatures in general.
A good old kill all humans robot.
He's a very... Yeah, it's exactly what it is. And he's a bipedal humanoid-shaped robot.
Yeah.
And he walks around and... I think he also has the dialogue denotations, like sarcastic, yes, of course, will say the tone. Mm-hmm. And he calls everybody meatbags.
Meatbags.
So HK is kind of fun.
I do enjoy it.
I think you would
robot.
Like HK, yeah. He's very sarcastic and doesn't like people. Okay, I think I'm finished.
All right, that was plenty.
I'm very good at Star Wars lore.
Yeah, much better.
Picking
than
and choosing what I believe counts.
So, how about that housekeeping?
Right.
So, review us on iTunes or Stitcher Radio, please. Find us on Twitter. Our Twitter is @CozyCoopPodcast. That's where you can find updates about the show and whatnot, like the fact that this one is late because of power outages.
And microphone troubles.
And, yeah, I was having some microphone troubles earlier, but I figured it out. I'm going to go back and it's going to be like a horrendous audio quality and I'm going to cry. You can email us. CozyCoop@thelizardrock.com is our official podcast email. Send a suggestion of a game to talk about. Send us an anecdote or something about a game we're already going to talk about. Feedback. Send us pictures of your favorite robot.
I would love to see robots.
I would love to see robots.
Is that all we have to
Doesn't even have to be Star Wars robots. The news you heard in the beginning can be found at thelizardrock.com. I post news there daily. I recently set up so that my news feed comes up on like my phone as a, what they called it, RSS feed. And that's nice.
Mm-hmm.
I like my website's capable of that. In case you didn't know. If you want to support the podcast, visit thelizardrock.com/support. And next week's episode, what is it?
Oh, we're doing cooking games.
Cooking games.
We're comparing some cooking games.
I didn't want to have a single episode about a single cooking game because I didn't think it would
They're
be
all very,
enough.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about a bunch of them. We're going to talk about Overcooked. We're going to talk about Cooking Mama. We're going to talk about Cook, Serve, Delicious.
Little Dragon Cafe?
Yeah, let's add Dragon Cafe in there. That's, if you want to call that a cooking game.
You might want to
mention that. I have opinions
that.
On that.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that, all sorts of them. If there's a cooking game you want us to talk about, let us
know.
It's one of the outlets. Outro.
All right. That's it for us today. Cozy up with us next week. Or, yeah, Monday. On the Cozy Co-op.
Outro music. She's still going.